on all podcast platforms. I really think that we should make a song up for this. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. So you can find us everywhere. We talk about real life stories with really amazing people, just like Hope Rieger that we have on our show today, about their life-changing events in their lives, tragedies, trauma, sickness or accidents, it doesn't matter, natural disaster, things happen in the blink of an eye. Yeah, that's how quickly something happens. And you know, it is life-changing. Something unexpected hits you. You're not always given that 5-minute evacuation notice. Sometimes no time at all. Sometimes you can't make the right choices. You can't make those decisions. You can't even have the right emotions in the moment. And to be in the right mental state of mind. We don't have choices in most cases. It just happens. And are we prepared? So we created an app that would organize all of your details in case of any medical emergency, sudden death, unexpected tragedy, to avoid all of that tremendous stress for you and your loved ones. Your backup plan app is at the edge of your fingertips. It's on your phone. It's on your tablet. It's close to you. It's easy to use. It guides you and helps you ensure that your life's puzzle pieces aren't complicated, but in the complicated world, in one safe place. So, and launching, we are doing the Caregiver Rescue Program, launching in January. I'm so very excited for that, to help people, you know, caregive for those that they love, as well as looking after themselves, because we forget to look after ourselves. And so I just wanted to start with our wonderful guest today. Hope Rieger is coming to us from Ohio. Welcome, welcome, Hope.
Thanks, Tina, for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, I am so excited. You know, I hope I don't cry with this quote, because grief, you know, is a tough topic, especially during the holidays. My quote today is, grief is a curious thing. When it happens unexpectedly, it is a Band-Aid being ripped off, taking to top layer of a, I can't even read my own writing, taking to top layer of a family, and the underbelly of a household is never pretty. Ours is no exception. Jodi Picoult. I can't, you know, I couldn't explain it any differently than what she said it, because it truly is. And each Band-Aid is different, I understand, from, you know, when we lose somebody, whatever that looks like, whether they're still alive or passed away. And I felt it was super important at this time of the holidays to help other people. How did this all start for you, Hope? And how did you get into something so crazy as helping people with grief? That's a tough world out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. My story started, I love what you said, in the blink of an eye, because that's how fast my world did change. It absolutely, I say 5 seconds, so maybe a little bit longer than a blink of an eye, but my world completely changed in 5 seconds. November 17th of 2016, I received that dreaded knock at the door. However, at the time, I had two sons, Brian and Justin, and they were, I had moved from my hometown for a job when my son was 18 and my other son was 25. And so he was living his own life. My oldest son was living his own life and staying in our hometown. And I had moved, and as an 18-year-old, my son was like, I don't want to move away from my friends, Mom. And I got it. I understood it. But so he bounced around. He'd come and stay with Mom when he needed money and food and got bored, and then he would go stay with friends when, you know, it was weekends and those kind of things. And so but he knew that when he came to stay with mom, it meant getting a job, doing chores, curfews, all those kind of things. So
rules.
Justin, yes, rules, those terrible rules. For about a year and a half, I moved to Columbus in July of 15. Till September of 2016, he bounced back and forth. It would be a week here, 2 weeks here, then he'd get a job and stay with me for a month or two. And then he would go back home and end up, you know, quitting the job, whatever. So he was trying to find himself as a young adult. And in September of 16, he finally said, "Mom, I'm ready. I found a place to live. I'm going to move in with these two roommates. We're going to have this house. It's going to be great. I'm going to get a steady job, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Okay, that's great, Justin, you know, and I think that's amazing." And it was in our hometown, so I felt comfortable. My oldest son was there if he needed anything urgent, because I was about an hour and a half away. And so November 17th of 2016, a little over two months after Justin had moved in, I received a knock at the door, like I mentioned, and I lived in a condo. So I looked down and I saw two police officers standing there. And, you know, the first thing I thought of was, "Oh no, what has Justin done?" Or, you know, "What has he got into?" Right? Because I'm thinking nothing horrible's happened. The first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, he's gotten in trouble. He doesn't have my phone number because he has a cell phone and blah, blah, blah. You know, he's in jail. I didn't know. Because Justin was very by the seat of his pants kind of kid. And so I answered the door and they asked if I was Justin's mom. So then I was like, "Oh, of course it's Justin." And I'm still waiting for them to tell me, you know, while he's trying to get a hold of me. And they hand me a piece of paper that had a name and number on it. That's all it was on there, was a name and number. And so I thought, okay. I said, "Do you know what it's about?" And they said, "No." So again, 6:30 in the morning, I'm thinking, nobody's going to answer the phone at 6:30 in the morning. But they told me it was urgent that I called that number. Neither one of them knew anything. I shut the door. I thanked him.
It sounds almost like he went to jail or something, you know?
Exactly.
Like, and that's like, what I was thinking. Like, I got to contact this person, right?
You're exactly right, Tina. Exactly. And I was literally like, I walked upstairs and my husband, we weren't married at the time, but my soon-to-be husband said, "What was that about?" And I said, "Something about Justin." And I even said that in a sarcastic way, because in my mind, I'm thinking if something tragic happened, the police would have told me.
They would tell you.
That's what happens in the movies and on TV, right? And even in real life. And so he laughed and he went and got in the shower and I sat down. I'm like, I don't know who's going to answer at 6:30 in the morning, but okay, whatever. So I dialed the number. And just like you said, in the blink of an eye, in that 5 seconds, the person on the other line said, "Greene County Coroner." And I was literally like,
"I'm sorry."
No, I said, "I have the wrong number." That was my first saying. I said, "I'm sorry, I have the wrong number." And he was like, "Hope." And I was like, "Yes." And he said, "I am so sorry to do this over the phone."
Well, but
he said, "Justin was in an altercation with his roommates. It started out with arguments as young men do. Who knows what it's about?" Until this day, I don't know what it was about. "That turned physical. They were starting to throw punches, shoving, hitting. And one of the roommates had a gun. Put it to Justin's chest."
Sorry, there are three of them?
There's three roommates.
Him or?
No, there was a total of three. So Justin was one of three. He was only physically fighting with one of the roommates, and that roommate pulled a gun, put it to Justin's chest, and shot and killed him. Now, Justin didn't have a gun, didn't have a knife, didn't have any kind of weapons whatsoever, and he admitted to the murder. He admitted that he shot and killed Justin. He said that the fight had just escalated. and he feared his for his life and his safety, even though Justin didn't have any weapons. But come to find out, Justin had him up against a wall. And so in a little bit, I'll talk about how the justice system uses that as self-defense. So in that time, it was 6:30 and this had all happened at 1:30 in the morning. So literally those 5 seconds completely changed who I was. And I will never be that same Hope that I was before that call that I
Yes.
am today. And so dealing with that, I was in shock, overwhelmed. As you can imagine, just incredible grief, overwhelmed. I had no idea what to do. I had never dealt with death. My grandparents had passed away, but they were of older age.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I had never had any kind of trauma, anything this traumatic, on top of dealing with the investigation, the police, all that entails. And so he basically, the coroner told me, where he was. And the first thing that comes to my mind as a mother is he's alone and he's cold because he's at the morgue at this point because of the investigation. So all that's running through my mind is how can I fix this? Because as a mother, that's what you think. I can fix this, right? Or I've
Yeah.
got to get to him to make it all better. And so I
Yeah.
kept asking him, like, well, where's he at? How can I get to him? What do I need to do? And he just kept saying, I'm so sorry, Hope. I hate that I had to do this over the phone. And he said, I'm willing to meet you, and asked where I was going to be. And I told him I was just going to go straight to my oldest son's house. And he said that he would meet me there with more details. And I just remember thinking, how am I going to tell everybody? What am I going to say? How do I don't even have the answers. How am I going to tell them? And I remember calling, my parents,
You
I
almost want to
was
keep it a secret.
right. But by this time the news had hit. It was in the news. It was, and people started calling. So I had to make sure I told everybody that I needed to.
The same story.
Yes, and I needed to make
But
sure they
that's
heard it
hard for
from me.
you.
It was, you go into robotic mode, like almost like, just that mode of just get it done kind of thing. And I remember standing in the shower getting ready, and just like in the movies, your tears are just streaming. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to do this? Like, this isn't like, I can't believe this is happening to me. This happened, my son. How am I going to live without my son? How am I going to live? What am I going to do? And it just all that whirlwind. And so over the next, if you've dealt with grief in any way, shape, or form, you're in a brain fog. I call it candle wax melting. It's like those 3 or 4 days, you're just sort of like in a daze, and everything melts together, and you're not quite sure how you get to a point A to point B, and things happen around you, but you really aren't there. You're in robotic mode.
Can I stop you for a sec?
Absolutely.
It's very true, and I talk about this on my podcast all the time. When something happens like that, I guess your brain stops because it's protecting you. But at the time that it happens, you can't think. And I'll say to people, it's like you literally see your brain leave your head. And it's
Yes.
floating, and it's like, but I really want to be able to think, like you do want to think. Like it sounds really, really weird, but when you've experienced it, it's just like, I want my brain back. And like you're literally like grabbing in the air for your brain. And it's like, okay, if I just get my sense about me, I can think.
Yes.
But you can't. It's like it just disappears. And so that's why I say to people, if you're prepared, if you have some sort of preparation or a plan, amongst you and your family members, then when something like this happens, because something will, we don't know what or when, but something will, and even losing your house can be devastating. It doesn't matter, have to be a person, but anything, it's just it envelops you, and it just takes over you, and you can't think. And then you're thrown all these questions and people and decisions and all this stuff, and it's just like it's too much. And because you can't even think of what to eat, like that's how your brain just shuts everything off.
You're exactly
And
right.
I don't know. I say to people, that's why when you have a plan of some sort, as big or small as it is, if you can put things together before something happens, doesn't matter what age they are, what color or race or hair color, it doesn't matter. Because as 19, they could be 90. It doesn't matter. But to have some sort of preparation, because then it alleviates the pressure and all of that stuff after. Anyway, that was my little blip.
No, I am a walking commercial for you right now. Let me just tell you, I am the commercial because there is, I tell everybody, one thing that it's the hardest to be surprised in the midst of grief. And let me tell you, there are surprise after surprise after surprise. And it was something that I would
And they're not
never
good
imagine.
surprises.
They're not great surprises, no. They're like, hey, the organ donor is going to call you and ask these series of questions. And if you can't answer them, they can't be an organ donor. And so Justin wanted to be an organ donor, but because I couldn't answer certain questions, he was not able to participate. And that broke my heart. That was, I failed him. That's what I felt like I failed him. Certain things for the funeral, pictures, music, songs, quotes.
Decisions.
Decision after decisions. And let me tell you are not in the right frame of mind. You, and as a mother, the first thing that I thought of was, I have to, this is my final gift to my son. I have to pay and get all these luxury items because this is my final gift. And so I bought things that I know my husband or my son up in heaven's going, are you kidding me, mom? Are you kidding me? You did that? Because he was really tight with his money. So I'm thinking he's thinking, really, we needed this, mom? And, because I had to have a mural on the cat or the vault, and I had to have, special cards and even down to chrome on his casket. I wanted him to have, I mean, it was like elaborate. And
Did you know if he wanted to be buried or cremated?
I had no idea. No idea. And
That's a
that's
hard
another thing.
decision.
Yeah, you don't know. And literally, that's why I said I'm the walking commercial for you. There's so many decisions that you have to make and that you think is what is in the best interest, and especially when it's a child. And sometimes that is very difficult to even talk about grief and dying and all those things. But let me tell you, when you're in the midst of it and you're right smack in the middle, you want to give it your all. And sometimes you don't make the proper decisions that if you were, if you had that plan, if you had that information beforehand, things would be so much different. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you could take away 50 of those things that you had to worry and do, how much easier that would have made things.
Right. And it was really, really all the way down to I was frustrated because I didn't know, and I had insurance on Justin. Magically enough, I was always been told to always have insurance. And so I was lucky enough for that, but that still wasn't enough to cover all the expenses. So then you have to dip into your savings or retirement or whatever. But I remember the
Or a
funeral homes
loan.
or a loan, heaven forbid. And I remember calling funeral homes and they're saying, well, we need $10,000 cash before we go and get him from the morgue. And I'm like, I'm not planning to purchase a car or, it felt so, just not,
Impersonal.
yes, impersonal is the word
It
exactly.
was about money all of a sudden.
It was, and I remember calling a funeral home and saying, I don't know when I can get this money out of the insurance. I don't know, I can give you down payments. I can, get my retirement. I can get my savings. And she just said to me, Hope, we'll figure it out. And she and that funeral home, I owe the world to because they took the time to take out the business side of things and knew the frantic of my voice of trying to get my son from a morgue, this cold, dark, nasty place where I could put him to at least where I could see him as well. And so
Yeah.
that took some time, but it's absolutely heart-wrenching what you go through, and what you're not prepared for when you have a tragic event like that happen.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter what tragic event either,
No.
really. I mean,
So yeah, so it was we dealt with the funeral and everything, and then everybody sort of went back to their old normal life. And that's what happens sometimes, but it was the holidays, right? And so a week after we had Thanksgiving, and I didn't get out of bed. And everybody was like, come be with us. We will support you. We want to take care of you. And it was the exact opposite. And that's what I try to tell people that are just dealing with like grief in itself. When the holidays come, you have to do what's right for you. And you may end up stepping on toes or creating hurt feelings. But at the end of the day, if they really understand where you're coming from, you can simply say, I'm just not ready. I'm not ready to celebrate. I'm not ready. Maybe next year. But today I can't. I can't do it. And that's what I say with the holidays and in general. You have the control to say no, have the ability to say, I can't do it right now. And there's opposites too. Like I was talking to someone earlier that said, what if you're not invited? Because people don't want to
Yeah.
bother you. Like, what if you don't get invited because they don't
Or they don't
want to,
want negative Nancy there.
right? They
Well,
don't
that's
want,
what they visualize anyways.
right? They don't want Hope's going to come and bring us all down and it's the
Yeah.
holidays. Which, I completely understand. And so I think every situation is different, but please have patience and grace with yourself and know that it's okay to say no. And they'll understand. And if they don't, they'll eventually get it when they go through it. And of course, show kindness. Say, you know what? I appreciate the offer. And I'd love to be in a place where I could celebrate, but I can't. And I want to
What
stay
about
home.
tomorrow? I mean, it
Yeah.
doesn't mean that you feel like that today. It doesn't mean tomorrow you might feel better.
You might. And
You
that's
know,
what I
because it
talk all
goes
the
like
time.
that.
Oh, it does. Grief is exactly that. It's a heartbeat monitor. It's ups and downs, and then there's some lags in between. But you'll always have those ups and downs.
Yeah.
But the lags get longer. And so dealing with holidays can be rough, and it can be also a time to reflect and be selfish and to take the time. And if, like you said, if you're not feeling it today, but you may feel it tomorrow, I always say day one or one day. Day one always starts tomorrow. And so if you can't do it today, day one starts tomorrow. So,
Can
just
you just be nice to yourself then and just say, today I just feel like staying in bed, or today I just feel like hiding out with Netflix or whatever it is, or a book, or or a walk, or whatever it might be. But maybe tomorrow I will feel better to do that. I guess you
that's
really
what.
need that support too of people around you to understand.
Yeah, if there's different stages, and when I say stages, I don't mean the five or seven stages that they talk about in grief, because one of the things that I learned was it's like a crazy wiggle line. It's not, nothing goes straight in grief. It's up, it's down, it's around, it's back. And one of the things that helped me was as I was moving forward in grief, and as I dealt with those first couple months and life started to return back to normal, I eventually had to deal with the trial and the murder
Oh, just to bring
investigation.
it all back.
Yes, yeah, so I had that was coming back at me. And I remember walking into the prosecutor, the grand jury, which those of you who don't know how it works, but the grand jury decides if it goes to trial. Then there's a jury of your peers. So the grand jury had this person come in and he claimed self-defense. And the grand jury dismissed the charges because of the circumstances where he had him up against a wall and he said that there was no exits. So they dismissed the charges. So literally, I've lost my son. Now I've lost justice for my son because the person that took his life, that played God, is not going to be punished for it. So that's when I had to make a decision. I was mad as hell. I was mad at God. I was mad at this guy. I was mad at the world. I was mad at myself for not protecting him. I was mad at every single person around me. And I was hateful and I wanted to be mad as hell and crawl in my bed and never see the light of day.
Well, how can you
And
not, you know?
And I remember saying, Hope, if you stay here, nobody's going to say a word. Not one person's going to blame you for what you're doing. If you stay in this bed forever, we get it. We understand. And you do what makes you happy, right? And then I decided, okay, that's a choice, or I have another choice. And that choice is to get my butt out of bed and honor my son in a way that he lived versus the way that he was taken. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know where I was going with this, but I knew that Justin would be so upset if I laid in that bed for the rest of my life because that wasn't who his mom was. His mom was upbeat, sunshine, roses, smiles. Everybody had a good time around Hope. And I had to make that decision to change my mindset. To find a why to get me out of bed every single morning, to push me for day one, to push me to be better and to live for the both of us. And so that's what I had to do.
Does the doctor not give you any medication to get through all of this at the time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can get, I had counselors. I went to support groups, which, support groups helped because they put people around you that understood what you were going through. Because
Oh, that's cool.
nobody knows what you're going through. And so that was one of the first things that I did. I went to a counselor. She suggested a support group. It was a religious-based support group. So I was very uneducated about God, and I still am, but I learned. But it was more importantly being around those group of people, and we're still friends to this day, that maybe they didn't lose their son, it was their spouse, their mom, but it was hearing their story and what they were going through, and they knowing they knew exactly what I was going through. And some had gone through it in different times. It wasn't like it just happened for everybody. So it was incredible. But yeah, absolutely. The help is always there if needed.
Oh, that's cool. I'll take a quick mention that your information is all down below in the description box, and that I really want you to like, share, and subscribe to this video because if you like it, it will help it get out to other people that are struggling with grief during this holiday time. And holidays can be Christmas, but they can also be Mother's Day and Father's Day and birthdays. And oh, it seems like every month it's like when you see it come up, it's like, ugh, I gotta go through that time. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. It's like, oh, I know the pain I'm gonna be in. But that's okay. So please like, share, and subscribe. Smash that like button. And make sure you click on the subscribe button so that it can get out to more people and you can share it with your friends and family that are suffering as well. Because Hope's going to have some great tips for us. So after getting through to the support group, which sounds like it's a great concept and a great idea to do that, did you find personal counseling any benefit?
Absolutely. I remember walking in and I had this young, she looked like yourself, young blonde. And I was like, I have coats older than her. What is she going to teach me? Right. And so she literally taught me the art of journaling, which for me, it was writing a letter to Justin each day. And then it got to be, okay, let's write it every day. And then I started feeling guilty. And she said, Hope, these aren't about feeling guilty. This is for you. This isn't for Justin. Justin can hear you talking and he knows this. This is for you to get out these words. So if you're feeling guilty, don't, because this is something that's beneficial to you. And if you feel strong enough to last a week or two and not write, that's great. So that's one of the wonderful things that I do. And then when COVID hit, and everything started to shut down. I remember, okay, I have to have a purpose. That support group that I went to was amazing. My grief counselor was amazing. But I knew there was something in the back of my mind that I wanted to do to honor Justin, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. And then when COVID hit, and we're counting deaths on TV, and people can't go to people can't even have funerals. People can't see their loved ones. People are dropping their loved ones off at the hospitals and not seeing them again. And I was thinking, how in the world can I help? I need to do something because I couldn't imagine going through the grief that I went through with Justin, not in COVID. And so I remember just sitting down and asking for help and asking God. I was thinking he's not going to tell me what but asking him, asking what my purpose is and what he thinks, how can I help? What can I do? Where am I at? And just really having that self talk, that grief to hope, the virtual support group sort of just created from my purpose of supporting and honoring my son, as well as having, offering that service to so many that could benefit.
That's awesome. And are you, it's on Facebook, right? So for
Yes, Grief
people.
to Hope. Yes, Grief to Hope is a support program. It is 7 weeks. It is completely free. I do not charge for Grief to Hope. It is a support program where you can come no matter where your grief stage is at, no matter what you're dealing with. We don't look at severity. We don't look at, yours is worse than mine. I make sure that we respect all of everyone's religious beliefs, opinions, thoughts. The new session starts January 5th. All of my information you can find under Grief to Hope. As well as my website, Grief to Hope Support. But it's a program where anyone's invited and it's for an hour and it's a group where you can take that grief mask on, come as your authentic self, talk about your experience. We have main subjects that we talk about, and we have open discussion, but it's really just a super
Sharing, I guess you could say.
sharing. Yes, as well, to just be yourself and be around others who get what you're going through.
I find it hard to, during the holidays, for people in these situations to find something that makes them happy. Does that make sense?
One of the things that I try to do, and I tell people all the time, is when you're in a situation where people don't know how to react to you. They don't know how to approach you during the holidays. You have all the family and they're there and they want to have a good time. They don't want to, like I said, Debbie Downer to come in and bring the mood down. Is find a way to incorporate where people can talk about your loved one, where they understand that it's okay to talk about it and it doesn't have to be sad 24/7. So one of the greatest things is bring a box of index cards, and I tell people this all the time. And when you're with your family, tell them to write down a special memory. And usually, 9 times out of 10, there are funny memories or there, something hilarious that happened, or they remember when Justin did this. And then the greatest things is it gets them talking. It's something fun for them to do. And then you take those index cards home and you have precious memories to share and to look over each and every holiday. So it's those are the kind of things that you've just got to get your mind thinking of different ways to allow people to say their name, because people shy away from it. They don't think it's the proper way to talk about it. And that's the last thing we want to talk about our loved ones. We want to tell them, I want to share what Justin did, when he was 16, or the crazy things he used to do. And so that is just one slice of something that you can do, but just make it comfortable for everybody to talk about it and to bring it up. And that's just one way you can do that.
Would it be any different for those that have lost a child under 18?
I think when you lose, the hardest thing with losing a child under 18, most of the time there's a sibling involved. And so when that happens, you have to still portray mom. You have to still prepare Christmas. You have to still act like you enjoy, you have to still do the elf on the shelf thing or whatever. And so the hardest thing is usually with siblings is to understand that a lot of times the world doesn't revolve around that, the death of their sibling, and that they deserve that spotlight too. So I think the one thing that I can say with under my, under 18 is to be respectful of the sibling, older, younger, make sure that they aren't caught up in that, adult conversations that sometimes happen. But make sure that life revolves around them, as well.
Because they're here and you need to be present for those that are
Yes.
here too.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you think about holidays is hard because it seems like it starts earlier and earlier every year. Pretty soon it felt like Halloween, October 31st and then November 1st, we were already into Costco had Christmas stuff, I think in August. I don't know. So it starts like creeping in on you early. It's not just like the day of or the week or anything. It's like this long drawn out 2 month process.
Yes.
So, maybe it's baking. Maybe, I don't know. I think you just have to find something that makes you want to celebrate something,
Yes.
make
And that's
something.
Yes,
I don't
that's
know.
one of the things is with Grief to Hope, one of the things that we talk about is being inspired. And it's your why. It's what gets you out of bed every morning. You have to find that passion. And on those bad days, that passion's what has to drive you, because it's hard as hell sometimes to get out of bed. But if
Yeah.
you have that why, that inspiration, that hope that okay, I'm going to do this in honor of them, because they're your biggest fans, right? Like if you didn't have anybody rooting for you, they're rooting for you. But that's the thing, like you have to, and it doesn't have to be like starting a support group or writing a book. It can be as simple as, I really want to learn how to foxtrot, or I really want to learn how to crochet, or I really want to do something that I've always inspired. But it has to be something that you're passionate about and that it gives you that why for every day moving forward. Because I'll tell you what, grief is year round. It doesn't stop for the holidays, it doesn't start at the holidays. And like you said, I don't know what happens. October 31st, the light switch comes on, and then it's like Christmas. You're exactly right. Same thing with January 1st. People wait till January 1st to start losing weight. Like magically, something's going to go off in your head that you're going to want to quit smoking and not eat. But I don't know how that happens, right? But you have to start thinking of day one instead of one day. And that's what I
Yes.
try to tell everybody every single time is, okay, so today's a bad day. Let it be a bad day or a bad morning. And tomorrow is,
It's
yes,
okay.
tomorrow is
Whatever it
day
looks
one.
like.
Yes, tomorrow is day one, whatever that is. Whatever happened before, you can change for day one tomorrow or the evening. You just can't let it keep seeping. And if it's a day, it's a day. If it's a couple days, it's a couple days. But in the back of your mind, you have to find that why to get you to start moving forward, to get you to feel that passion, that energy, that I want to accomplish this and make this and do this. Because I'll tell you what, people that grieve have the most strength in them than most people can ever imagine. And it's
You don't
because
think
we've
so,
been
though.
more. Yeah, you don't. But I'll tell you what, we have more strength in us than most people could ever imagine in their lifetime, because we have to keep getting up every single day and fighting. And those that have lost, and maybe it's not a grief, maybe it's a divorce, maybe it's a job loss, maybe it can be something else, but you've got to get up and keep fighting every day. And sometimes that's hard as hell. But if you have that why, that passion, and that drive, that will get you to keep getting up and moving forward. And that is so important. So important.
Well, I mean, I just think of Twitch and the family, you know, Allison and the kids, and how do you even start, you know? Because that was kind of like your situation where, you know, it's a shock and a turmoil of a situation when it's suicide. And even if it was in your situation, it's kind of a similar situation of why? Why?
Right. And that's the question. I'll never know why. And
no.
She'll never know why. And there may be a million what ifs, and there may be a million questions. But what you have to start getting to the point is, and I think this is where counseling helps, and I think support groups help, is you have to come to the place where you can move forward without the questions answered, because that will eat you alive in the what ifs, the what ifs, the what if I would have, what if I would have done this, and I do it, and I did it too. Everybody does it. But then you have to go to the point where, okay, everybody has free will. And what if, and I say this all the time, I tell this story simply, if I would have, because Justin called me the night before and I didn't answer, I was going to the movies. And I said to my friend, he'll call back as probably he wants money, right?
Yeah.
And he never did. And I had the worst time with, what if I would have answered the phone? What if I would have, you know, and he said, Mom, come get me. I'm, you know, I have no idea, because it was earlier
what
in the
that
day.
Was. Yeah.
Right. But my, the way that free will works is, what if I would have gotten angry? What if we would have argued? What if we would have said mean and hateful things, and that was the last conversation we had? So you always have to know that there's free will, and people have free will, and you have to be okay with answers not being, or questions not being answered. It just has to be.
But then, like you said, she has that difficulty with the kids there, and it's the holidays on top of it. Like, couldn't he have planned it around the holidays?
Like, right. Could we all not plan things? Like, right.
Can you
like,
just not do that to anybody, please?
I know. I know. And we'll never know why he chose the day and why he did. And some people think it's selfish. Some people don't understand. And I, you know, the question I have is I hope that she has the support and the family, and I'm sure she does, and I hope she does, to be there and just support in a way that she's never thought she'd ever need. And it's going to be it's a struggle. Grief is a struggle, but there is a light to the darkness. There's an absolute light to the darkness. You just got to keep digging yourself to get there. And I promise you, it's there. I promise.
I know, but when it's, I talk about this in my podcast too, about that dark room. And there's no light and no windows and no door. That's what it seems like. And so you walk around the room and you're looking for that light.
The best thing to do is ask somebody to shine a light in. And that's where you find that that person that can shine that light in, maybe different people at different times of your life. It may be somebody in support. It may be a counselor. It may be a doctor. It may be your parents. It may be your sister. It may be your best friend. But I'm telling you, there's people out there that's absolutely willing to shine the light for you. Absolutely.
We're I hope here. I don't have any Kleenex left on my
You poor thing. Poor thing.
I could be sitting here and there's a whole bunch of white things on my skin.
You look beautiful. You look beautiful. Never
oh,
worry
geez,
about that.
Your story is crazy. Like craziness. I know a lot of parents have lost, you know, teenagers or 20-year-olds to car accidents. I know that's a big one. That and overdoses and suicide. And oh, it's a crazy world out there, isn't it?
It is. You know? And I'll tell you, you never know. And that's why I say tomorrows are limited. We don't know how many we got. And so you have to live for day one. And if you get tomorrow, make it amazing, make it amazing. 'Cause you don't know how many tomorrows you have. And a lot of times, when we lose, children and we lose and it's senseless sometimes, you know, and we don't know why, you have to dig deep and keep moving forward, to honor them. Because now I have to live for the both of us. And that's the way that we have to feel. I have to live for Justin. So I need to live for me and for Justin. And I have to go for anything and everything. And be
but you
positive.
Can see how you can fall into other things during that time. Like alcohol or drugs.
Oh, yes. And one of the things was I quit smoking 6 months after Justin. And they were like, what? Now's the time you pick quitting smoking? And I literally quit cold turkey. And I have never looked back. And I thought to myself, if I can lose my son and still think positively and still have laughter, this is nothing. And that's exactly what you have to feel. You have to know that this is the worst pain ever. Losing a child or losing a spouse or losing anyone, or you know, and that could be divorce or anything. It doesn't have to be the actual death of something. But that pain hurts so deeply that if you can get through that, and 100% of us that are listening have, we can get through anything.
Well, isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
I think the support groups are helpful because you listen to other people's stories that are, you know, similar. And it's like, wow, there's worse than mine. You know, like, it's just, it makes you feel kind of better on this weird way. Because it's like, oh my God, they went through all of that. And what am I worried about? You know, like, I think it's kind of helpful that way to hear that you're not the only one in that big world that is experiencing the feelings and the emotions and the thoughts.
Our support group is one of the things that I absolutely ask is everybody respect everyone's grief in a way that nobody's is, you know, different or special or harder or severe. But I do agree with you when it comes to being around people that you can be completely honest with and say things that, you know, we have a lot of laughter in our support group and we have a lot of tears. And it's because we can take that grief mask off and be ourselves. And nobody's going to judge us by saying, can you believe Hope just laughed at a joke and her son passed away 5 years ago? Can you believe she's laughing at something? And those are the kind of things that when you're around people that are grieving, they get it. right? They understand. They understand that, you know, I'm still able to laugh and have joy in my life. And I'm not in bed weeping every day. But you're also going to understand that I have days where I see something and it triggers me into just a crying spell.
Yeah.
And it's really just having that honest, transparent conversation with other people. It really means so much.
And I find after years of experiencing it that you know instantly that, oh God, here it comes. It kind of makes you feel different about it because it doesn't seem to hit you so badly, if I can say that, because you're recognizing it.
Yeah,
and you're trying to change your mental state. Like you're trying to, you know, change it. Whereas when it's earlier on, it just hits you and you don't know what to do with it.
Right. I agree. I think there's what I feel like you're saying is like this morning, I'm just driving to the grave and I know when I go to the grave, tears fall. Like that's just what happens. And it's, you know, you have that conversation or you're talking about him and, you know, it's the holidays and you just know you're prepared. But one of the weirdest things that happened to me was anytime I saw a young person walking, that would make me cry. And I don't know why, because Justin didn't walk anywhere. Like that kid was drove everywhere. But it was seeing that young person walking would trigger me. And so just like in the gym this morning, there's a kid in there that looks so much like Justin. And every time I see him, I have to stop and realize where I'm at and sort of control those feelings. Whereas, like you said earlier on, I don't know if I could have that much control over it.
No.
But as like today, like seeing him, it almost like gives me a little bit of, you know, oh, he looks like Justin kind of, you know, smiles versus, you know, he looks like Justin and I miss him. And so it's almost like, oh, he's so cute. He looks like Justin. So it's
funny
different.
How it kind of changes or you get a different perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I could talk about this forever, it especially during the holidays, because it's so, so very difficult. But what kind of final message would you like to give the listeners? Because, I mean, I'm sure you have many of them.
You know, one of the things is please have patience with yourself. Have patience with others around you. We have expectations of others being grievers. We may not think that way, but we do. We expect other things. So be patient with others and your expectations of what they should be and how they should act. And like I said, give yourself grace and let yourself say no if you are not ready to handle any of that emotional family gathering time. But if you can, if you have to do it, you are forced to do it, you have other siblings, children, spouses, find that safe space to go and maybe pre-position it to say, I don't know how long I'm going to stay, but I'm here, but I'm just letting you know that I may duck out early, and give yourself that grace. So just be patient, please.
But isn't that hard to say out loud?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But hopefully you have that one person that you can confide in, and it may be your husband or your mom or your sister that says, hey, can you let everybody know that I don't know how long I can stay?
Oh, that's a good person. Yeah.
Let me just tell you, that sister will go and tell everybody because she's going to be the protector, right? She's going to say, listen, hope is leaving when she feels like it. Right?
Just like she put it on the radio.
Right. She's writing notes to people. She's putting on the bulletin board. Let hope leave. So, yeah.
I think some of those fun party games would probably be helpful to cut the air. Don't you think?
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
because it's such a hard time. And so when you first go, I think it feels like you're gonna throw up. Like, like it's just too much. And you're supposed to be happy and you're trying to put on this act. And yeah, all of those feelings.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to go into a place where you don't feel holly and jolly. And if you're like me, you put on this mask and you're like, I'm here. But it wears you down. So
Yeah.
just be patient with yourself. And when you're ready, and tell everybody, say, thank you. Or let it be known, like, here, I'm here and I want to have a good time. And I'd love to talk about, my loss if you want to talk about it. But if you can put it out there and get it on the table where everybody's not like, do we say something? Or like, I don't want to talk to Hope. She's, and just be honest with yourself and
Yeah.
your family. And they're your family. So hopefully they're there to support you no matter what.
And I think, maybe a possibility, it's just my idea actually in my head right now, is, there's so many different party games. Ellen had a whole whack of them, or on TikTok or wherever, but there's a whole bunch of different party games. So maybe that could lighten up the air of the party or the dinner or the event or the day by saying, okay, everybody bring one party idea. And
Yeah.
you put it in the bucket and you just pull one out and we're gonna, slap a Kleenex box with ping pong balls in them onto your ass. And then we're gonna see who can get rid of the most by walking from there to there or whatever. Like, I'm just trying to
Right.
think, like, just to break up the feeling.
I love that. And you know what? The greatest thing is I hope that people feel like it is a time for joy and it is a time for celebration. And we want to celebrate too. And doing things and involving them in those games and asking them to participate is awesome. Leaving them out is probably the worst. So include them if they say no. But I think party games is the best way to lighten a mood in an atmosphere than anything else. Throw some mouse traps on it, blindfold some people and have a go. Laughter is so good. It's so good.
And there's fun ones, like I saw one yesterday where they had like those colored beer cups and they put them all around in a circle on the floor and they put different objects under the cups and then you have to step on the cup and then some is money and some is like a funny thing or but yeah, I think that you could, have a lot of fun with different things.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. Nothing. No matter where you're at.
It's hard to do, though.
It is.
Well, thank you so much, Hope. I hope that's helped a lot of people, during this time, and maybe you'll see this next year, or maybe you'll see it when it's a birthday time, and that's tough too. We didn't even talk about that. I'll have to have you come back, Hope, because
Yes.
there's other things that we could talk about too of how we can get through different issues of time.
Yes.
And they all have this little agonizing, I call it like it's like a screwdriver and it just gets in you and it's like, go away, get out of here.
I totally get that. I totally. There are so many times during the year that can trigger so many things, and not just, for grief. There could be, springtime or, like you said earlier, Mother's Day, those kind of things.
Holidays, like
Any
going on a
holidays.
cruise or but anything.
Yeah.
This
It would be my
crazy.
pleasure to come back anytime.
Oh, that'd be awesome, Hope. And I hope everybody understands that in the description box below, where the like, share, and subscribe button is all of Hope's information below on her Facebook page. And she's doing great things for everybody out here. I think it's wonderful to hear that she has a support group for people. So make sure you check that out. Well, it's that time. We're not Superman, and we act like we are because, nothing's gonna happen. My dad just said that to me yesterday. I said, "Dad, you keep on leaving the car unlocked in the driveway. What are you doing?" "Oh, it doesn't matter. Nothing's gonna happen." Okay. Well, that's very risky nowadays. I don't
It
know if your car's gonna be still there, if anything's gonna be left in it. And they love like what are they called? The catalyst
catalytic converter, yeah.
converter thing. I don't know. And so, you're just not, it's just not what they're gonna steal in the car anymore.
Yeah.
So many people think nothing's gonna happen. But I hate to tell you, something will. And it's just far from the truth, We can look at the last 5 years in the world and shootings in the schools and streets and work accidents and car accidents and overdoses and the pandemic. And I had to laugh. My dad said he had COVID this month, and he said, "Yeah, I had to tell somebody that I had the COVID." I didn't know it was the COVID, but okay, I guess it's like the dope, when they're older, that's what they call it. Oh, geez. It's so funny. So funny. And all the crazy wars and the natural disasters and the wildfires and the floods and the hurricane, like everybody, there's not a place around the world that isn't affected. And if you're thinking of that special someone right now watching the show, and you haven't told them that you love and care about them today, pick up that phone, text them, FaceTime them, it doesn't matter, knock on their door, but tell them how much you love and care about them because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. And that being said, I always end our show with Carol Burnett. I'm so glad we had this time together just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes a time we have to say so long. So long, everybody. Thank you so much, Hope, for coming on our show today and helping people like yourself. I can't imagine what you've been through. Just crazy, crazy.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And you're going to come back and you're going to help us with other holiday times as well. I think that that could be definitely a topic. And so everybody, expect the unexpected and make sure you can get prepared. And the app is available on iTunes and Google Play, and it's a great gift to those that you love and care about. So make sure, be kind and stay safe, and love you lots. Thank you, Hope, for coming on.
My pleasure.
Bye, everybody. Till next time.